What's up, everybody? This is Keisha from Put Your Phone Down Podcast. We are on season four. And you know what? I've been having this quote. I think I'm going to stick with it. There is more in store in 2024. And we just go keep it rolling. You all, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to keep you at all. I am going to give this beautiful young woman of God her flowers. And I'm just going to let her use the voice that she has to share her amazing story with you. I got this wonderful woman on my line, and she was referred to me by another wonderful woman, Miss Tashima Wilson. I got to give her flowers too. I got Miss Mykia Dillard on here. Mykia is awesome. And you all, she got a story for you. And I want you to stop what you're doing to listen to it, pass this story on, because she's here to just share it. And she's here to free a few people. Mykia is a founder of Colors Foundation. That's Colors with a Z. She's a survivor of sexual abuse. She has two published books, mother of three beautiful children. She's a bad sister. She got bachelor's and master's degree in business management and studying to be a registered nurse. She's also a co-facilitator of Girls Talk. And she orchestrated a sexual abuse awareness walk last April. You all listen, if she can do it, you can do it. And this is just not everything I laid out for you. And what I want her to do is share her story. So, Mykia, I hope I gave you some flowers. It's not all of them, but welcome to Put Your Phone Down Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Girl, you're welcome. So without further ado, like I always tell people, let me get cushiony. I'm going to the back seat. Okay. I told you before, I ain't even going to be the passenger. I'm not even going to tell you how to get to the destination. I'm sitting in the back seat. Okay. You got the driver's seat.
Thank you. Thank you, Keisha. I just thank God for you also giving you your flowers for just creating this platform, this safe place for people to be able to share different things in their life, their ministry, or whatever it is that they're going through. You giving them that platform and giving them their flowers while they're still breathing. I think that is awesome. And I just pray that God continue to elevate you in all that you're doing and open many doors for you as well. Where do I start? I guess I can start with how Colors became to be. So I received the vision in 2015, and I didn't know how it was all going to come together, but God just gave me the word colors. And, you know, for most people that don't know that the rainbow signifies God's promise. And he gave us that promise that he will never destroy the earth with water again. And so I just used that as one of God's promise because that's what he gave me. And so I build on that. I'm trying to continuously build on that. And so the overall goal is to have apartment complex, and it's going to be called Colors because that's the vision. And it's just going to be a rehabilitation center for women and children that have been sexually abused to get back on their feet, mentally, spiritually, financially, any resources that they need in order to get back out into the real world. I will be able to provide that for them. So that's the overall goal. But, you know, God give us a vision of the end first, you know, what it's going to look like. But the journey is a little rough. So I started a walk 2 years ago. So this year will be my third year in April that I will be conducting this sexual abuse awareness walk, because April represents the month of sexual abuse awareness. And so it started around 2019, like right in the middle of COVID, the middle of COVID. At the time, my husband was in a car accident, and we didn't have a car. So I was catching an Uber back and forth to work. And so one of my coworkers knew this guy. God is so amazing. She knew this guy that she was taking lifts back and forth to work. And so she gave me his information and said, oh, yeah, he'll work with you, you know, help you. He'll put you on a weekly or a biweekly plan, you know, to get you back and forth. Because, you know, during COVID, that was like really a difficult time for everyone, financially especially. And so I linked up with the guy. He was able to, you know, help me out. I was able to pay him biweekly, take me back and forth until my car got fixed. Long story short, he asked me a question one day and it kind of blew me away because I'm like, you know, I didn't know this guy, but he was like, what are some of your ambitions? What do you want to do in life? And I was like, okay, this is a little weird. And I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, I always wanted to write a book, you know, whatever. I didn't know what type of book this would be. I didn't know, you know, anything. That was just a desire that I had growing up because I liked to write. And so he actually gave me this lady number. Her name is Dr. Tuesday Tate, and shout out to her as well. He gave me her information and I called her and we talked for about an hour on the phone, telling her my story, and she was telling me a little bit of hers and what she do. But she was a founder of ATK Publishing. It's Advancing the Kingdom Publishing. She had her own book company where she published books. And so she had wanted me to be a part of this project. It was a collaboration of 8 different women sharing their story on how did you get your yes to God? How did you surrender to him? So that is the title of the first book that I was able and blessed to write on. It's called To Thee, O Lord, a Surrendered Yes. And so as I began to write, I didn't know that she was going to tell us we had to go into this. It was.
You were mentioning the young lady who gave you your heads up or just more information about the first book that you were a part of.
Yes, Dr. Tuesday Tate. Shout out to her, amazing woman of God. We actually, I linked with her through the Uber driver that was helping me out. And he asked me a question about, you know, my ambitions in life. Like, what do you want to do? What is your ambitions? And so when I told him that, you know, I wanted to write a book, he introduced us. We linked. We actually, it's so funny, we talked about maybe an hour on the phone. I was just telling her, you know, my story, different things that I experienced. And she was like, I think you would be great to fit in on this collaboration that I'm working on. And that's how I was able to write the first book. It's called To Thee, O Lord, a Surrendered Yes. It's 8 beautiful women that are on there sharing their stories, different things they went through in life, and how they came to say yes to God. And so I took that chapter out of that book because we had to write our first 500 words and we had to read them in front of everyone. And so I was so afraid because when I moved to Alabama, when I was about maybe 5 years old, my sister and I, my mom took me from my dad, and we moved to Alabama. It was a rough time for us. And so when I was about 6 years old in Alabama, that was the first time I was ever touched inappropriately. And I didn't say anything during that time because, you know, when you're 6 years old, your brain is not even halfway developed. You know, you're going through different things, you know, developing, and so your heart is pure and you just love, you know, and you just, you're innocent, you know. And so when I moved back into Gary, Indiana, and I lived back with my dad and my grandmother when I was about 9 years old, then that's when I became molested by a family member. And it happened from, I would say, about 9 years old to about 10 or 11. And so I just completely shut down and I was quiet for about 18 years. So when I got married and I moved away to Texas, I told my husband the first time what had happened to me,
because, you know, no matter how much we try to hide these things and sweep them under the rug, they will follow us and hunt us, you know, and they can destroy your relationship if you allow it. But God is so merciful and gracious. You know, he kept me. He kept my mind through it all. And I understand why, because he has given me a platform. And, you know, by me saying yes to him, and giving him all of that stuff, that junk, all of that trauma and all of that mess that we are not capable of carrying, you know, now I can talk about this and not cry. You know, I could talk about it and not feel ashamed because I'm free. I am truly set free. And that's only through Christ Jesus, the reason why I'm free today. And so going back when we had to tell our 500, we had to read our first 500 words. Mind you, I was terrified because I never shared this with anyone. My husband was the only one that knew. And so when I began to read it, it was difficult for me. And Dr. Tuesday was there by my side. She coached me through it and I did it. And the moment when I tell you, when I began to read those words about what happened to me in my life, I can feel the chains falling, literally, in the spiritual realm. I can feel my breakthrough. And not only that, it was so many other women in the room that can say thank you, because I too, you know, has experienced this situation. And, you know, I didn't know how to say or talk about it or, you know, different things like that. So glory be to God just for the opportunity for that. And I wrote that. And even when I was writing the book, you know, my rough draft, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this because, you know, it can make some family members mad or, you know, but God would not allow me to write nothing but exactly what he told me to. And it took me a little while, but, you know, through obedience, I learned that it's not me. It's not about me. Yes, you know, I went through it. But when I gave it to God, it was no longer mine to bury, you know, to carry. And so I was just obedient. I'm just so grateful, you know, what God is doing through me, for me, and for other people that, you know, he has touched through my story. And so that's the foundation of colors. You know, God took something ugly, something that was stained, something that was dirty, and he's given me beauty for ashes. Like, I can truly say that. Like, I can truly, honestly say that I am healed, I am free, you know, and that I just praise God for what he's doing. And that's pretty much the foundation of my story. And that's how it became to be.
I'm going to come on up from the back seat because I'm in the passenger seat now. I really want to just thank you for being so transparent. And it's a lot of key points that you hit on. And I was just nodding my head. And I was hoping that other people heard you too. And possibly in the way that I heard you. So the first time was 6.
Yes.
You know, the first age. And like you said, you colored a 6-year-old perfectly. You know, 6-year-olds are friendly and they think everybody else is their friend. And when they are being touched, sometimes they think, hey, wait, this is wrong. But depending on who it is, you're like, well, no, maybe not. Okay. Exactly. Then again, at 9, you knew. Like, okay, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that you said is once you were being set free and you decided to just go ahead and write it all down is, okay, what family member is going to get offended? You know, that's kind of where I want to stick with, because a lot of the times, even though, you know, it happens, it's still that in the back of my mind, who am I go hurt? It's still that form of protection right there, you know? So can we talk about that a little bit? Because I'm sure with your sexual abuse awareness walks and, you know, the stories that you share, it all kind of goes down to protecting whoever hurt them or not want to quote unquote shame the family.
Yeah.
Can we talk about why, you know, what's your opinions about why sometimes we, and I do mean our community, want to kind of still, you know, protect the person that's doing that to other people? What do you think that's all about?
Well, I honestly, my opinion, and I know it's probably a little bit more factual than opinion in our community, is because it's how we were raised. We were pretty much from millennials, our age group, we had older grandparents, you know, so our parents was not in their 40s or their, you know, their 30s or, you know, my grandmother right now is 85 years old. And so how they were brought up, it kind of trickled down to us, how they raised us and, you know, in their household and different things they went through in their upbringing, it was to keep quiet. You know, even though those type of things did happen back then and probably more so often, you know, they were told to keep quiet. And so that same misleading teaching trickled down onto our generation. So I would say it starts there first with our upbringing and with our upraising, you know, how a young lady is supposed to carry herself, you know, how is she supposed to dress, how she's supposed to sit, you know, sit down, cross her legs at the ankles when she sit, you know, different things like that. All of those teachings really affect what happens in the Black household. And I'm not just saying that this just happened to African Americans, but we know that it's more common, you know, in our neighborhood. So I would say it start off with how we were raised, you know, and then for me, it was a little fear there because I know my grandmother and she had a thing for her boys, you know, and not saying she didn't love the girls, you know, no less, but it was just something special about those boys. And so it kind of set a little fear there, you know, and then again, back in those days, even if you did. Of keeping it in the household, but it's, will they believe me if I say this? And so in my situation, when I was 9 years old and that happened to me, I had a friend of mine that also experienced that same thing in my household. And once it got out and my grandmother did not believe that, that kind of put a muzzle on my mouth as well too. And then again, right, because we grew up together, as even though we were cousins, we were brothers and sisters as well, because we were raised together. So I did have that little bit of protection, but that's because I loved my family, you know, and then you have to remember too, you're still pure, you're still innocent at that age. All you know is to protect, to love, because you were raised that way, you know, keep family first. You know, if one fight, we all fight type of thing. That's how the household was raised. So with all of those things against you, it's like, hey, where did that leave me? That kind of backed me up in a corner, you know? And so all I did, I shut down, you know, in my mind, I said, this didn't happen to me. I told myself this did not happen to me, even though I knew that it did. But I put that blindfold over my eyes, that muzzle over my mouth, and I just lived. I would say I existed. That's the word I would use. I existed until I was able to get out the house. And that's the mentality that I had. I'm just going to muzzle my mouth, keep my eyes closed until I'm of age to move out. So
And this is what I like about this, because let's go there. I would like to do is just pretty much rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go ahead, take the roof off of everything, because when I worked with kids, I could spot it, you know. I've not been sexually abused, but I had a trained eye that by the time I was working with kids, I could spot it. Yeah. Even though you think you hide it, it shows. You know, everybody doesn't have the same behavioral though. You know, some kids start having the nightmares, and you have your kids that wet the bed all the time. Then some kid become angry, and you know, and it's usually because, it's nothing against parents, I want to say this before I go there, it has nothing to do with the parents, nothing to do with the guardians, but when a kid is internalizing, just like you said, I'm sure it came out in other ways in you, you know. But the way I started seeing it was in the fighting, in the aggression. Like I said, let's rip the Band-Aid off of this, because we see it now, celebrities are now using their voice and coming off of it. And the young men, they use that as a rite of passage when some of them say, I was 10 and my babysitter was 20. And it's like, don't you know that that's called sexual abuse? That's not, you know, you turn it into a man, okay?
Yes.
So one of the things, like you said, it became the boys usually are the ones that can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
With the girls, just like you said, I'm piggybacking. It's so much responsibility that we have to have. Like you wearing really? Too tight pants and you mm-hmm. ask for it.
Yep.
You shouldn't have wore that short dress because you mm-hmm. knew that they was going to look at you, you know, even down to wearing lipstick. You know, back in the day, red lipstick meant that you was a whore. You know?
Yes.
So, like you said, it's something that's passed on mm-hmm. where the girls have to be damn near perfect.
Yep.
And we have to protect the boys of the house, you know, who will turn into the men of the house.
Yes.
Do you remember how you reacted growing up? Because like you said, you suppressed it. Mm-hmm. But do you remember how you were how you lashed out?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was very angry. My grandmother always. It's so funny now because even when I go back home to visit and we talk, she always say, you know, you was so angry. You was an angry child. And I remember that, you know, and it wasn't just the molestation that caused me to be angry. It was a lot of things. I wanted my mother. I wanted my mom, you know, and she was out in the world. You know, she was battling her own issues and, you know, her addictions and fighting and doing all of that. It made me angry. You know, because I did not have an outlet. I didn't know if I could trust anyone. But my dad and I was very, very, very close. Excellent man. Wonderful man. He raised me beautifully. But I had a fear that if I would tell my dad because he protected me, he would have killed him. You know, and so there again, even though I want to speak out, but then again, my heart is like, you know, I got to protect them because if this get out, if my dad find this out, I'm going to lose both of them because my dad will be going to jail for murder and he will be, you know, he'll no longer be here. So all of these things I'm trying to process on my own at that young age, it was wearing me down. Mm-hmm. I became very angry. I became silent. I always stayed in my room all the time. Music was very therapeutic for me. I love music and writing. Those two things really got me through. And of course, you know, praying, having that relationship with God, even when I didn't fully understand who he was, I knew that he was one person that I could talk to. And so that's why when my walks now, when I do my walks every month, it's titled, I Will Not Be Silent. That is the name of my walks. It's because people need to understand silence only cripples you. Silence only praises the enemy because that's what he wants you to do because it's so much damage is caused in isolation. Now, I'm not saying go and just shout it out in the world, you know, to everybody, but when you get those, that natural counseling and then that spiritual counseling, that brings power to you. That's when your healing starts, when you open your mouth and talk about these things to people that, you know, either that are professional, that are, you know, licensed to do this, or to the one that created you, you know, God, speak to him about it. And he'll give you that direction and the provision so that freedom can take place. Because one thing that I do learn, that I have learned, is that my life is not my own. And that means that everything that I experience in my life, everything that I've gone through, is for someone else. It's to help someone else. So I feel like if me saying yes to God and I have to expose all of my cards, oh, I'm down for that. I'll do it because I know it's freedom in your voice. It's so much power in speaking out. And so I would say, you know, and I know that everyone, like you said, had their own different ways of dealing with trauma, of dealing with hurt, of dealing with abuse. But speaking out brings power. It gives you strength that you didn't know that you have. So, yeah.
Yeah. What would you say? Because everything you said, I'm not in my head, but to the ones that have turned their anger towards God, you know, what is it something that you would say to them? We got a lot of angry people.
Oh, yes.
Towards God. Like, well, if, you know, if he was really wouldn't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have some words to the listeners that might have gone through exactly what you've gone through? what they don't believe anymore.
Absolutely.
I know sometimes often when you think of God and you think of Jesus and you think of, you know, all of these things that you see and hear about God, we kind of like put him on a stool of being a magician. And that is false. That's not who God is. I often tell people to look at God as being your earthly father, your earthly mother. Even though your parents try to protect you from everything in life that they can, and because we are born into free will, we have free will. So that means God is not a magician. So he's not going to like pop out and just boop, boop, boop. You know, I'm a genie. You have three wishes. That's not how that works. God is our creator. He's our father. He's everything that we need him to be. However, we do have free will. And I feel like that people get him misconstrued. It's because they don't have a relationship. When you have a relationship with someone, it's like that understanding, that connection grows. And so you will know how God operates. You will know how he is. You will know, you know, that he keep us from more than what we think. You know, he fights for us and shields us from more dangers unseen that we can't even imagine. But some things he allows to happen is for a greater cause. And some things he don't. It just happens. But that's just the type of God he is.
I believe that it is a muscle. I agree with you, because it's just like you said with parents. We try, and I'm not a parent. I'm just going to say we like I am. But yeah, we try to shield and protect. Mm-hmm. But it's just like that first bike ride. You know, you holding on to them, and as soon as you let go, they might tumble and they might fall. You know, some of us still got those scars from when we fell off that bike.
Yes.
You know, but we can tell people now, like at first we cried about it. Some of mm-hmm. us had to have stitches. But when people say, hey, how'd you get that scar? You can tell them, you know, and that's exactly, I feel that's what we have to go through at times. It ain't easy. And I know that you didn't promote that at all,
mm-hmm.
but it does build that story in us, you know? So, Mykia, I want you to get more into, because I tell all my listeners, if you look at how much time we got and we almost at our destination, I want you to just tell these people more about the Colors Foundation, the Girls Talk that you have going on, the I Will Not Be Silent walk. Where can we find you, you know, mm-hmm. when you decide to get that walk going on? And this book that's on Amazon, you know, so again, I'm going to the backseat. I'll be up probably around the 28 minute just to, you know, get picked up. But
okay,
here's your floor again, sis, and let us know about everything you got coming for us.
Yes. Again, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. It's amazing what you're doing. So with my book, it is on Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and you can type in Mykia Dillard. That's M-I-K-I-A, last name Dillard. Then it'll pop up. It's called Fractured to Free. You can also go through my website. It's Colors with a Z at the end. M as in Mary, D as in David.org. And then it'll have more information about, that's where you can find out my walk, when it's getting ready to start. Also different other events that I'm having. You can find that on my website. My email is info@colorsmd.org. I am not on Facebook at the moment, but I will be on closer time to my walk to promote. And then you can find that information on my website as well. Instagram, I'm on Mykia_Higgins. And so, yeah, with Colors Foundation, right now it's just basically having a community of colors. And that means the promises of God, drawing people
from their trauma, drawing them to God, to our Savior, to our Comforter. He is our provider. I know that some things we go through in life, we may not understand, but I'm telling you, if you have that solid relationship with the one that sees all and knows all, he will restore you. I am a witness to that. And so every year around towards the end of April, I have a walk. I don't release the location until, you know, people register for that. But again, you can go on that website closer to April. I will start promoting that. And then also my overall goal, which I'm looking for God to move on this pretty soon, is to start building my apartment complex for women and children that have been sexually abused. It's going to be resources there, mock interviews, counseling. I mean, what you name it, whatever you think that you will need is going to be there. Of it. So I just encourage you to speak out. I encourage you to allow you to know that you are not alone in this thing. There's so many different avenues and platforms that people are starting to speak out about this sexual abuse more. And so I just want to be a blessing to the people any way that I can be. Again, my website is colorsmd.org. You guys can feel free to go on there. I have lots more information about the foundation as well. So thanks again for this opportunity.
You're welcome. And you know, before you leave, I want to thank you for speaking it to me. This has been, you know, I've already discussed with you just in brief. It's been an ongoing up and down, me just learning. Okay. Yeah. So everybody who hops on here, they coming on this ride with me, honey. I mean, it's a first time experience. It's been ups and downs, technical difficulties, and I am learning. So I thank you for taking a chance on me. Mykia, before you leave us, and I told this to one of my most recent interviews, is somebody listening, right? And they're listening intently because they want to hear a word from somebody who can identify. Before you go, can you just speak to somebody and let them know how they can keep pushing or how they can set themselves free in telling their story?
Absolutely. Well, I would like to say to you first and foremost is that it was never your fault. Don't ever think that you were the one to blame for anything that your offender has done to you. I want you to know that you are still beautiful. You're still handsome, even if it was a man that was the victim. You're still the apple of God's eye. And I just want to remind you that you are not alone. You're not in this thing by yourself. And know that you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. What we have to understand is that when we are weak and when we are worn out and tired and frustrated and angry and all of these seeds that the enemy try to plant in our head, that's when God can show himself strong in our situation. It's because we're taking our hand off and we say, you know what, God? I'm desperate at this point. I'm tired. I've tried everything. Nothing is working. So now I'm going to just see what you can do. And God is like, yes, that's what I've been trying to get you to do all along. So I just want to say, trust God, trust God. Even when you can't trace him, even when you don't understand the whys and the hows, trust him. That's when you seek him the
So what you said was absolutely beautiful. And I want to thank you again for hopping on this podcast. I want to thank you for sharing your story. We talked earlier, and I told you, you was going to set some people free, child. Amen. And I believe you understood the assignment, as the kids say, you stood on business, okay? So you all know where to find this beautiful, wonderful woman of God. I told y'all she was going to come through, and she did. So you all, she left where you can find her, where you can find her on Amazon. And I guess if we go wrap this all up in a bow, be encouraged.
Yes.
Use your voice. Use yes. whatever you've been through as a testimony. You're not by yourself. And so let's try something new. For those of you who have turned this into anger,
that's
release
good.
It.
That's
you
good.
Know, release that and see what's on the other side of that anger. You know, tell your story. Tell your story to anybody who is going to listen. And yeah. even if they don't want to listen, you keep telling your story.
Yes.
So I want to thank you again, Miss Mykia Dillard, for being on this podcast, for taking a chance on me, man. Y'all just don't understand. It makes me bubbly inside, honey. Sometimes I think I got the bubble guts as excited as I feel. every time somebody contacts me, it's a yes. Because mm-hmm. I come from a bunch of no's, okay?
Listen. So
I come from a bunch of no's. So every time there is a yes, I celebrate like it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, and whatever other thing is going around. So again, I don't want to hold you, but I want to thank you. And for my listeners, thank you for being a part of sharing me, encouraging me, texting me, telling me that you've listened, sharing the podcast. And even if you don't share it, thank you for listening. I see you. Okay. So again, y'all, this podcast is for everybody. If you have a story, if you have a testimony, it is for you. Okay. I'm just here as a platform, but it is yeah. for you. Every episode, you guys, is I drop every Wednesday and Friday. I am available on every major platform: iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify. Just pass me around like a little rag doll, y'all. Just pass me around.
I love it.
And until the meantime, y'all, go and support my girl, Mykia Dillard. She is doing great things in the future.
You
will see that apartment complex.
Yeah.
And again, don't forget, she got this walk going on, the I Will Not Be Silent walk. So be looking out for her as she releases those dates. And Mykia, thank you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm about to close out, though, so don't think I just go drop the phone on you. But all right. So thank you again, y'all. Until the next time, y'all be good. Thank you. This is your host, Keisha, from Put Your Phone Down Podcast.